The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I just want to win. My goal is to get in there and take care of business.
The question pops up in my head every day. How great can I be?
You know, I'm going to cherish every moment.
Put your mind to it. You can do it. Just keep pushing.
He's got it. Here we go. Championship drive.
Matt Jones airing it out. What a throw.
There have been plenty of people that I doubted me.
For Pitts, he got it. Oh, my.
Special performance by the Heisman Trophy winner.
Touchdown. Two goals.
Zach Wilson.
I'm going to give him everything I have and play as long as I can.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 4.0 has dropped, and it is packed with juicy trades. The real NFL draft just 16 days away, and my goodness, the possibilities are endless. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. We will be all over this Mel mock for the next hour. Some other news around the league that you need to know, and you see my friends right here. We got Marcus Spears, we got Mina Kimes, we've got Diana Russini, and we're going to be talking about the Patriots, why they could be getting the steal of the draft, according to someone here. Also, Mel Kiper Jr. with us for the entire show to give you all the details on this mock draft, as well as those trades I was talking about. There's one that we're about to get to in maybe 30 seconds or so that you don't want to miss. And here are the details on this mock. As you look at it right here, there's no shortage of storylines in this one. There's five quarterbacks going in the top 10 picks, which would mark the fastest five quarterbacks have been selected in the common draft era. Kiper's been telling us about this wide receiver class all year. He has 14 total coming off the board in the first two rounds. That'd be the most wide receivers selected in the first two rounds in the common draft era. And we got two massive trades, as I referenced, in the top 10. Kiper has the Dolphins trading up to the fourth overall spot to select Kyle Pitts. The Patriots trading up to the 10th spot to select Justin Fields. So here's a look at Mel's draft selections for the Miami Dolphins in this two-round mock. Starting with that trade with Kyle Pitts at number 4 overall. Miami then gets Michigan pass rusher Kwity Paye at pick 18. And in the second round, Kiper has the Dolphins continuing to bolster their offense around Tua Tagovailoa, selecting North Carolina running back Javonte Williams and Michigan offensive tackle Jalen Mayfield. So, Mel, let's start right here. Explain the Dolphins trading up to number 4 to grab Florida tight end Kyle Pitts.
Boy, it would have come full circle if something like this happens for the Miami Dolphins, where they were and where they ended up. They're very similar, but they did pick up some more draft capital. They have a lot of that. They're not that far away. And I think it's how much they value Kyle Pitts, who is a once-in-a-decade player, to say this is a guy who can be game-changing. He can give Tua what we need with Mike Gesicki and the tight ends and what New England did and certainly what Miami could do here with those two guys. And he's more than a tight end. He's a guy you can move around, wide receiver, tight end, matchup nightmare. And if they value him more than a Devontae Smith, a Ja'Marr Chase, and a Jalen Waddle, who they would be guaranteed without even having to move, then you move up those spots and you get a guy like this who, as I said, is a once-in-a-decade type of player that you will not find in this draft or any draft in the coming years.
Marcus, once in a decade, Mel Kiper Jr.'s words there. And if you talk to anybody, most people are saying Kyle Pitts may actually end up being the best player in this draft. So is this a smart move by the Dolphins?
Yeah. It's a smart move. And I love the fact when Mel talks before me and I agree with every point, that means it's going to be a good day because we don't have to have a fight. Now, I know we got a lot of show left, but right now I'm with him. And I love the idea of that two tight end system. And think about this too. While Mel was talking, I was thinking about this. Two of their best players may be guys that you don't have to pay for a while. If they get Kyle Pitts, along with Tua being the quarterback and continuing to mature at his spot. Gesicki is young. This is a young football team. And when you look at what Greer has done, the general manager in Flores, they have went out to try to find pieces that changes games. We saw the defense perform at an elite level, but if you add Kyle Pitts to this, it'll speed up Tua's maturation process because we've lauded about his ability to place the football wherever it needs to be. And when you have a guy like Kyle Pitts, you really don't have to worry about placing it in the perfect spot. Just put it somewhere in the vicinity, and they become potent because he's more than a tight end. And I'm going to come up with some new name in order to deem a new position in the NFL for Kyle Pitts.
I can't hear you. Oh, Mina is having some audio issues, and I think it's probably because Lenny wants to get on the show. Mina, we will come back to you momentarily and see if you can hear us. But, Diana, let's get some more context on this Kyle Pitts situation. What are GMs and other people saying, scouts around the league, about Pitts as far as what we would see the Dolphins giving up here to get him? Is he really worth all of that?
Yeah, first let's just talk about the evaluation of Kyle Pitts and basically just take what Mel Kiper and Swagoo just said, put in a ball, and then expand the ball by like 10. Because that's how liked and almost just impressed the scouts, GMs, and head coaches are in this tight end. But in terms of big picture, I reached out to some older head coaches, GMs, and one older scout as well over the last 2 hours just to get an idea about his value. Is he worth perhaps the Dolphins theoretically trading up, making those giving up those picks for a player like this? Is he that good? And most of the feedback I got was, yes, he's a really good player, but I don't think he'd be worth that. We're not talking about the best tight end to ever come out of a draft. He's just going to be a good player quickly. He's quickly going to transition from college to the NFL with ease. And really, his ability to play as a receiver, a pass catcher, that's what really stood out in some of the conversations I had. So while I think it's great that we can sit here all day and sing the praises of him, I think it has to be measured of how willing a team would be to go to get a player like Kyle Pitts. And it seems that it would probably be a little foolish, and I think my colleague Mina Kimes would agree, for the Dolphins to give up just that much for a tight end.
Yeah, I don't think anyone disagrees that Kyle Pitts is an incredible prospect, that he's tight end one, except maybe my dog, who was trying to raise an objection while Marcus was talking. But the amount of draft capital that Mel Kiper is speaking of is enormous, because after the Dolphins moved down to 12, they already gave up a first to move up to 6. In making this secondary trade, they would be giving up basically their entire draft next year, the beginning of the draft, rather. So, you know, if you look at Jimmy Johnson's draft value chart, the number of picks we're talking about is equal to just below the first overall pick. Would you spend the, you know, second overall pick on a tight end? I think most teams would say no, it's just too much for that position.
Yeah, by the way, Lenny, we heard you, and apparently you don't agree with Mel here, so you two can work that out a little later on. Moving now to the Falcons side of this, Mel, you still have Atlanta getting Trey Lance, the quarterback. Why is that?
I think Lenny will feel better about the Atlanta side of this trade, and I think you look at it, you say Trey Lance needs time. He can't be expected to be the guy right away when only 17 starts at the 1AA level, and only one start this past year, but the talent is enormous. And Matt Ryan, you think about it, 36, a couple more years, and that will be when he can turn it over to a guy like Trey Lance. And you move down, and all the talk that people I spoke to was they want to get off of that pick if they can, and that would be Kyle Pitts, the hot guy, not necessarily the quarterback that teams would trade up for. So if that's the case, then Trey Lance at 6. Atlanta gets a little bit of draft capital, comes in, get a couple of hole fillers maybe, and all of a sudden now Atlanta gets the quarterback that, as I say, can be the heir apparent at a more palatable point in terms of 6 rather than at 4.
Yeah, I love this. I think Trey Lance is the most exciting quarterback in this draft because he has the highest ceiling. I mean, the traits are out of this world, and there's subtlety to those traits. Like, for example, you'll hear about his arm strength, but he doesn't just have a cannon. He throws the ball with touch. If you go back and watch the South Dakota State game, for example, from a couple years ago, you will see him layering the ball over the heads of linebackers just beautifully to the second level. You'll hear a lot, again, going back to his traits, about his athleticism, but it's not just size and speed. Yes, he can run power, but he can also navigate a pocket with incredible poise for someone his age. And if I'm Atlanta and I'm betting on those traits, I am betting on the possibility that if they translate at the next level in the NFL, you could have the best quarterback in this draft. Now, again, that's hypothetical because he's still raw and he's coming from a small school, but the ceiling is incredibly high with him.
Yeah, it's nice because it's a luxury, y'all. Like, this is one of those situations where you look at a team in Atlanta's position and you look from an offensive standpoint and you say they can be as good as anyone. And y'all know I struggled last year picking them in some games because of the Jekyll and Hyde that they play. But if you sign, I mean, if you draft Trey Lance and give him the ability to watch Matt Ryan go about his business, along with Arthur Smith, who we just saw kind of retool and reshape Ryan Tannehill's career using that athleticism, but also with a formidable run game, obviously with Derrick Henry, I'll be very interested to see what they do with this pick. But I think Trey Lance would be a great idea for Atlanta as well.
Yeah, Marcus, the sense I'm getting is that they are going to most likely go running back at some point in this draft. So you're thinking about filling that hole for Derrick Henry. They're going to try to find that. But, Mina, your description right now of Trey Lance sounds almost identical to the way you would describe Ryan Tannehill. And we saw how much success Arthur Smith had with Tannehill. So this would make the most sense if they decide to stay there and go quarterback.
Yeah, it's an important distinction. As we carry on here on NFL Live, it's Mock Draft 4.0 day. We got Mel Kiper Jr. with us all show long.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Can you hear that?
Touchdown, Clemson! 67 yards, Trevor Lawrence.
Next chapter.
Just 16 days away from the NFL draft, and you see Mel Kiper Jr.'s Mock Draft 4.0 dropping today, the first round. We got those couple of picks highlighted there, of course, and that's important because the Jets going to take Zach Wilson most likely, and this Sam Darnold trade makes things really interesting for the Carolina Panthers. Of course, remember the Panthers' acquisition of Darnold includes a sixth-round pick this year and a second and fourth-round pick in 2022. So Carolina's got some draft capital to build around Darnold, having three picks in the top 75 selections of this year's draft. You see, Marcus, what Mel has this and how it's laid out, but let's begin with you, Mel, here. Take us through your Panthers' picks, round one and two for Carolina.
Hey, Laura, I'd start out with a pick that's really contingent upon the Bengals. If the Bengals take Ja'Marr Chase and reunite him with Joe Burrow, then Penei Sewell, the left tackle from Oregon, would be there. But I have Sewell going to Cincinnati, which opens up Devontae Smith to the Carolina Panthers. You already have DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. Now you have Devontae in there, Christian McCaffrey. Now you have weapons for Sam Darnold, something he did not have with the New York Jets. And that offensive line you can address in the second round and get that real leader, that fiery guy, basically an offensive line coach playing that center guard position, and Landon Dickerson at Alabama as well. Nothing wrong with going for a couple Crimson Tide players. These guys know how to win, they know how to train, they know how to work, and they are ready to go. And he's obviously coming off that knee injury, which is why he could be there at pick 39. He may not be ready for the start of the season, but once he is, he could be an anchor for a long time with the Carolina Panthers or have the ability to play guard. So that versatility is a key, and the fact that you're getting a guy who normally, had he not been injured, would have been a late first-round draft choice.
Yeah, Landon Dickerson, by the way, beloved by Nick Saban, which is saying something no matter how you look at it. And one thing, too, Mel, with the way you have that laid out for the Panthers, they'd at the very least know what they have in Sam Darnold with those weapons and building around him, which is important. Yeah. But we heard from the Panthers brass earlier in the week when they introduced Sam Darnold. Matt Rhule, the head coach, had this to say about what they may do with that number 8 pick.
We need another really strong draft. So at the 8th position, we'll be flexible. We'll look to take the best player available. We'll continue to look at quarterbacks. You know, I've been impressed going around and watching some of these guys throw. So we'll look at anything and everything.
All right, Marcus. So just once again, a reminder that Mel in this mock does not have the Panthers drafting a quarterback at that 8 spot. So they'd pass on that, and you saw the weapons that he would have them getting. You like how Mel has this laid out for Carolina?
Mm-mm. He go out fight.
Oh, no.
I do not. And listen, I agree. I love Devontae Smith, and I think he would change, obviously, a dynamic of that football team. But I still like the weapons that they have. And I'm reminded that Christian McCaffrey was injured last year. So that's and that's a lot of opportunities and touches that goes to one guy, and it will continue to be that way because he's so dynamic with the ball. I'm going find a tackle. That's my thing. Like, we've had the conversation about if Justin Fields is there, do you do it? I'm still on board with that. But if we're talking about a scenario of Devontae, are you taking the offensive lineman with the first round pick? I'm going offensive tackle. It's been a revolving door for the Carolina Panthers at that spot. So I'm thinking about guys like Slater or Darisaw in that position. And that may be for, and I got to ask, like, my question to Mel, is that too high for those guys? Would you consider that reaching for one of these tackles that I just mentioned, or do you think one of those guys could become that anchor that you mentioned about Landon Dickerson?
Yeah, they're both. Slater is a guy opted out. Had he played, and you know, obviously an outstanding left tackle in college and a right tackle as well, but does he have the length to hold up? I always bring up Brad Hopkins, who I scouted when he came out of Illinois. Played had a great career in the NFL, but he was one of the few that had the lack of that length. And I think when you look at Darisaw, is he a left tackle, which he showed this year? I thought he could be. Some think he's more of a right tackle. So is that the right fit for what Carolina wants? I think Penei Sewell, to answer your question, Marcus, if he were there and he could be. I had Ja'Marr Chase going to the Bengals, and I changed it. So if Ja'Marr Chase goes to the Bengals and all of a sudden Sewell's available for the Carolina Panthers, I'm changing everything, and I'm taking the left tackle right away. That's an automatic for me if he's there for the Carolina Panthers.
Gotcha.
So I'll be the arbiter here. Throwing out quarterback, which is, I think, if Justin Fields is there, they should take him. Deciding between an offensive lineman and wide receiver, I love Devontae Smith. I saw an incredible stat. He ranked first in yards off of both deep balls and screens at the same time last year. He is incredible. I'm sure Joe Brady is salivating at the idea of integrating into that offense. But when you think about this team, the players that they already have, and how the draft shakes out, I would still lean tackle because I think that first tier of offensive tackles, Mel, you named some of them, is such a tier above the rest. We saw how well the first round tackles performed last year. Whereas wide receiver, not only do they have a lot of strength at that position with Anderson Moore, they can also add a wide receiver later in the draft and fill out that complement of players for Sam Darnold.
It's a dilemma that a lot of these teams are dealing with. We've got more of Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft coming your way, but some news to get to. The Twin Cities region in Minnesota are still on a state-ordered curfew today after the police shooting of a black man this past weekend. 20-year-old Dante Wright died Sunday after police officers shot him in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center during a traffic stop. Police say the shooting was accidental as the officer intended to fire a stun gun instead of a handgun during the struggle with Wright. Officer Kim Potter, who shot Wright, and Brooklyn Center Police Chief Tim Gannon both resigned today. The Minnesota Vikings released this statement. We are heartbroken by the senseless killing of Dante Wright. This avoidable situation is yet another tragic reminder of the drastic need for change in law enforcement training and police relations, specifically within the black community. Our hearts go out to Mr. Wright's family and friends and all those who are hurting in our community.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Top of the draft can be quarterbacks 1, 2, and 3.
At the 8th position, we'll continue to look at quarterbacks. I've been impressed.
It's a big decision that the Jets have to make. It's all about value.
The opportunity to trade up and get a guy can be a big part of our future.
You got to take risks.
Regardless of where I go, I'll be ready to go. Coming for your spot. Can't nobody stop him.
So as usual, the quarterback's a big topic of discussion at the top of the draft, especially Mel Kiper Jr. here with us today as his mock draft 4.0 has dropped. Mel, take us through some of these top quarterbacks, starting with Trevor Lawrence at number one for you.
Laura, that has never changed, and that's why Urban Meyer, we talked about, why are you the head coach there? Because you're excited about getting a franchise quarterback who could be one of the best ever after his career is over. So Trevor's been locked in to whoever had number one, and obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars, what a great opportunity for them to begin the Urban Meyer era with such a great prospect in Trevor Lawrence. Anything short of being one of the top 3 to 4 signal callers in the NFL would be a disappointment. The Jets, I would have kept Sam Darnold, it built around him. They opted, Joe Douglas did, to move Sam and go forward, reset the clock with Zach Wilson. No more pressure on any quarterback coming in that I can remember than what's going to be on Zach Wilson, because the pieces are building around the quarterback. This team will be better personnel-wise. It's going to be up to Zach Wilson to really transition quickly to the NFL. And then the 49ers, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, that was the... It's going to probably be Mac Jones. Why? Because he gets the quarterback position like no other. Smart, understands everything about concepts, talk about accuracy to all levels, and I think that's what Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan and John Lynch, that group, that brain trust, sees with Mac Jones. That's why he's projected to go to the 49ers.
Yeah, like it or not, people, we need to probably just start accepting it that Mac Jones is going to go number three overall to the San Francisco 49ers. Hey, after those top three, Trey Lance comes off the board in Mel's mock with six, with the Falcons trading down, of course. The Patriots trading up for Justin Fields at number 10. We'll get to that later in the show. Don't you worry. Only one other quarterback comes off the board after that in the first two rounds in Mel's mock 4.0. Washington selecting Stanford's Davis Mills at pick 51, who didn't have a whole lot of playing time, but certainly some potential there. So, Mina, that means the Broncos and Mel's mock are sitting at the 9 spot in the draft, and they're taking linebacker from Penn State, Micah Parsons. Is this the right move to not go get a quarterback, go up and get one, or get one if they're there?
How do I put this gently? No, it would be a catastrophic error for Denver. Look, I'm not saying Drew Lock can't develop into an NFL starter. But last season, for example, he ranked 33rd in on-target percentage, 33rd in interception percentage, 35th in completion percentage. Marcus Spears, how many teams are there in the NFL?
32. That would be 32, MK.
Look, I could go on. Like, you can make defenses for Luck. It was obviously a weird season. He was missing Cortland Sutton. You could say, hey, maybe he'll have like a Josh Allen-style leap, which was historically unprecedented, by the way. But if I'm Denver, given their recent history with quarterbacks, you can't hope for that at this point. Like this team is too good to waste. This offense has too many weapons. This defense as well is one of the better defenses in the NFL. You can't waste that on hoping Drew Lock makes that jump. You got to bring in competition for him. In my opinion, if Justin Fields is there, it would be a huge error to not take him.
Y'all know what this means. Y'all know what this means. Mina got poetic. She got poetic because she absolutely right. Like, this is my, this is mind-blowing to me, right? You see your deficiency, Denver. If Justin Fields is there, it's a no-brainer at that point. And when you think about, like, I'm glad she highlighted the Denver Broncos personnel. Noah Fant, before he got injured, was trending to be a top three tight end in the league. They drafted Jerry Jeudy last year, so they've taken their one receiver, right? Cortland Sutton on the other side doesn't get the credit he deserves because he's had a quarterback that has struggled, right? So all of the things that she mentioned make sense. But the most poignant part of what she said, Justin Fields may be there at 9. And you don't have a good quarterback, Denver. He may be there. That to me is the bottom line. And I'm gonna let people in on me and MK, because she's my spirit animal. The reason she asked me how many NFL teams it was in the league is to illustrate that Drew Lock was worse than some backups at his position. So let's get to the point and get Justin Fields if he's sitting there at 9. If the New England Patriots can come up at 10 and get Justin Fields and Denver hadn't taken him at 9, they crazy.
Yeah, and I like that Mel is predicting that Parsons lands At the top of the draft here. We know what a great player he is, and I'm actually really excited to see where he lands. But let's just talk about things that I've been hearing around the league in terms of Denver. And, you know, the Drew Lock experiment, it's I wouldn't call it over. I wouldn't pull the plug on it completely. But the sense I get is, yeah, they're hoping he gets better. But they know. They know there that they need to go find a quarterback that can lead this team. And this could be the perfect opportunity, depending on, you know, which quarterback will be there and which quarterback they prefer in this system here. So it is, this team is going into the season with a very big question mark here at who will be the starting quarterback. And we'll see if it'll be someone they draft here.
Yeah, you know, just a reminder to everybody, too, that when Mel Kiper Jr. is doing these mock drafts, the mock drafts are based on things that he's hearing and information that he's gathering. It's not like his big boards where he's ranking players. So just to add some context to our discussion here, you know, this is something that he's hearing could happen where the Broncos end up passing on a quarterback if there's one available there at that 9 spot. Diana, you also have an update on the Broncos and their offseason program. Sounds like somebody's getting pulled over by the cops somewhere there. But anyway, what can you tell us about that, Diana?
I know. I live in a very tough neighborhood. It keeps me aggressive. That's the type of reporter I'm trying to be. So the NFLPA is recommending to the league right now that all the players continue to this offseason program virtually, right? We saw them do this last year. They want to stick with that same plan. Now, individual teams now are making announcements about what they want to do specifically. And the Denver Broncos had a meeting last night. They released a statement, at least the players did, saying that they will not be participating in in-person voluntary practices. Okay, so that would start on Monday, by the way, just to give you a full view of the NFL calendar. So Monday, this upcoming Monday, those practices begin. They will be opting out of those. They are sticking with just voluntary. The Seattle Seahawks as well will be joining this. And Laura, I don't want to make a prediction here, but I feel comfortable saying by the end of the week, the list of teams along with the Broncos and the Seahawks is going to be a lot longer of those opting out of those in-person workouts.
And what do you think, Marcus?
It makes sense to me. Like, look, you want a window as long as possible in order for not only vaccines, but COVID, right? To see if there is a elimination happening before you get back to full-fledged being together in the building. And look, quote unquote, voluntary in the league has always meant mandatory because it's looked upon from coaches as you not being available to your team. But the bottom line is this. As much of a window as these teams and these players can create before they all have to get back together, I think makes for a better situation when we get to the point when serious football is about to happen and still gives us potential to be further along in this process of getting vaccinated and COVID, hopefully numbers going down and getting to a point where everybody feels comfortable about being in the vicinity.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And the other side of this, too, guys, is the fact that, you know, last season and off season, because of what was happening, things had to be virtual for the most part. And there were records set during the season, especially offensively. So something was working, and that's probably got to be in the back of the mind of these players and some of these staffs as well.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It is all about the wide receivers. Well, at least in Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft 4.0 it is. Kiper has 14 wide receivers coming off the board in the first two rounds. I love it. This would mark the most in the first two rounds in the common draft era since 1967. Of those 14, six are selected in the first round, including the Packers using a first-round pick on a wide receiver for the first time since 2002. Kiper's projecting Minnesota's Rashad Bateman to Green Bay. Great pick there. Mel, I mean, we thought the wide receivers were great last year, but this year's class seems to be even better. Explain your Packers pick with the Packers taking Bateman.
Well, think about it. There's a kid who reestablished himself. You got to be happy for the great kid that Rashad Bateman is. I mean, you think if they throw the COVID year out, 2019, he was spectacular. This year didn't go the way he had hoped. Obviously, interruptions with COVID and all the effects from that on him. And then you think about running a 4.39 40, catching the ball, great route runner, all the things like the Packers need in a rookie that can step right in and be productive, which they have never done for Aaron Rodgers in his career. Will this be Aaron's last year in Green Bay? Will they turn it over to Jordan Love after that? Either way, Rashad Bateman is going to have a heck of a career in the NFL if he becomes a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, you know, the good thing about this conversation is that we have the actual president of the Rashad Bateman fan club on the show here in Mina Kimes. You're a big Bateman fan. Do you like this match with Aaron Rodgers? At least let's talk about him being the quarterback for now. How do you think Bateman fits in this Packers offense?
Yeah, we call ourselves the Bateman. I'm the leader of the Bateman. I'm shocked, Mel, that he would follow that far, frankly, and I think it would be a massive steal for Green Bay. I can't say enough about Rashad Bateman. He breaks tackles like Michael Thomas. He runs routes like Keenan Allen. He played mostly in the slot last year, but he can be a true X. I think for Green Bay, to have him as a 1A with Devontae Adams would be massive for that organization. Frankly, you know, you got Baltimore taking Terrace Marshall above him. I would expect Baltimore to jump at the chance to get Bateman. But if not, Green Bay, whoo! I mean, that would just be tremendous for them, and Aaron Rodgers should be very, very happy because he is a special player.
Yeah, Aaron will be happy for, what, 7-8 months? While the season is going on, because he's out of there. But let me get to Bateman. Listen, this would be a situation where Green Bay not only would help Aaron Rodgers this year, but they'll set themselves up going forward, right? You put Bateman across from Devontae, and I don't know if you keep Lazard or Valdez-Scantling, but put one of those guys in the slot. Tonyan stepped up big for the Green Bay Packers this year as well. So you would not only facilitate something that we all think Aaron Rodgers is beating the table for, another offensive weapon where he feels like guys can take over the game, but also for Jordan Love, y'all, because this is a part of the conversation. Like, Jordan Love at some point is going to be given the keys to Green Bay, and they have to build a roster out in order to facilitate him coming in and taking over that spot. I know nobody wants to talk about it, but I will, because I do not believe that Green Bay can make a move that Aaron Rodgers will like enough to say, okay, I'm good. Don't worry about all these things that's been transpiring between us. I believe he's still out of there regardless of getting the offensive weapon.
I know, Marcus, I feel like you've been packing Aaron Rodgers' luggage for, like, the last 2 to 3 weeks here, basically saying, like, I'll help you find a house because I know it's not going to be in Green Bay anymore by the end of next season. And I know why you're saying that. It has everything to do with the contract situation, which, you know, is still kind of up in the air. We haven't really seen it get sorted out. We know that the Packers want to keep him, or at least that's what they're saying. We haven't seen them do it, and it seems that Aaron Rodgers isn't doing much to help his team, and we know that they need some cap relief. So it had this thinking here, just what about Devontae Adams? Why not extend him? They can get some cap relief that way. He was arguably one of the best wide receivers last season. But maybe Devontae Adams sitting here, Marcus, and knows something that we don't know about the future of Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he wants to play for a quarterback that isn't Jordan Love one day. So we don't know much about that, but I think keeping in mind that, you know, who knows what the future of Devontae Adams is even going to be in Green Bay.
Yeah, just a reminder that yesterday our Packers reporter Rob Domofsky had an article with an unnamed agent who was saying that what's going on with Aaron Rodgers is kind of holding the Packers hostage altogether. They can't really figure out what they're going to do with a number of players as a result. All right, listen, I think I talked too much on this show. I asked too many questions, so I'm going to just pass it over to you guys for a little minute here. Let's have you guys ask Mel something. So, Mina, you start us off with your wide receiver question to Mel. Wow. Go ahead.
Hey, Mel, first-time caller, long-time listener. My question is about the Giants. You've got them taking Jalen Waddle. I'm a little confused. This team just dropped a lot of money on Kenny Galladay. They've got knees on the offensive line. Why'd you have them taking Waddle in the draft?
Too good to pass up, Mina. That's the deal with Jalen Waddle. If he slips down that far, you have receivers who were some injured, dropped balls. They got to be more consistent for Daniel Jones. Obviously, the offensive line has to improve. But here's a kid coming back from the ankle. He'll be fine. Also, the great return man as well. But his skills as a receiver, drawing comparisons to Tyreek Hill, tells you how explosive and dynamic he is. He is a touchdown waiting to happen. I just think he's a steal at 11. He's way too good to pass up in terms of value at that point.
Hey, Mel, my name is Marcus Spears. I'm excited for this opportunity to get to ask the great Mel Kiper a question. Why did Kadarius Toney slip to the second round? Don't get me wrong. I like where you have him landed, but what happened to move him out of the first round to get him to the second round?
First of all, I'd love to have you and Mina join the Dari and Mel show on Saturday mornings from 10 to 1 Eastern. But if you want to call in and do that, would be great. I'll answer any questions you guys have. I think when you look at Kadarius Toney is a jet sweep, reverse, get the ball in his hands. He's an aggressive runner, takes on people. Can he stay healthy in the NFL with that style? I like to see him get out of bounds, slide down once in a while. But I think for what Urban Meyer wants, and Todd McShay talked about it all day, space guys, Kadarius Toney, I think, would be an exciting player for Trevor Lawrence moving forward with that Jacksonville Jaguar offense.
All right, listen, Mel, so you and Dari already have your lineup figured out for Saturday, right? Because now you got Mina on the show. You definitely got Marcus. Diana, will you do Dari and Mel?
I'm calling.
Yeah, Diana's going to call in.
No,
I'll call in. So
no,
perfect.
What a show.
Yeah, we're.
Did you win the party?
No, we got to ask Dari if it's okay. He's the boss, right? Anyway, I like that. I'm going to take a play off here a little more often.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But there has been a
trade.
Atlanta, however, they just traded.
Could look to trade down in the first round.
One, a three, a four, a five, a six, a seven.
It's a lot to give up. I really do.
It is not the trade of the century that they had been framing.
You can play this back right in my face if you want.
My favorite is watching Mel watch himself back there. It's a lot of fun. Some legends in that. We've got a trade alert in Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft involving the Patriots and Cowboys. This is really fascinating. Mel, you have New England trading up to 10th overall to select Justin Fields. This may feel a little bit like deja vu. Todd McShay had the Patriots trading up to the 11th spot in his most recent mock draft to select Fields. In both cases, Fields is the fifth quarterback off the board, making us wonder if our senior draft analysts have some inside info that we don't have. Just a reminder, because Mel, I won't make you do this. You have Justin Fields very highly ranked on your big board as the second rated quarterback as far as your rankings are concerned. But once again, a mock draft is what we think the NFL teams will do here. So Mel, both you and Todd have the Pats moving up, unprecedented for them, by the way, for Fields. Why is that?
Now you got to get the division. I mean, you got to close that gap or at least get even. You got Josh Allen now. He's the leader of that division in terms of the quarterbacks. He's the great young quarterback. And then you have Tua and you have Zach Wilson and now you have New England. So I think it's the same thing with Denver, with the guys we're talking about, Mina and Marcus. And I can agree with that. I struggle with Denver in terms of taking that quarterback. But I think it's the same thing with New England. Be aggressive. You're not going to see Fields at 15. Move up. Maybe they got to get ahead of Denver. We'll see what Denver does. They're pivotal at 9. But you got. I'm all about winning divisions and you do all this to win a Super Bowl, and you cannot be the fourth in your division and the seller and expect to do that. And that's where they are right now. And I think Fields has a chance. I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft. I think he's going to have a great NFL career. Well, the same thing about Josh Allen when people were bashing him, and Justin Herbert when they were bashing him. So again, I think Justin Fields is a guy the Patriots have to be aggressive and go up and get him, and maybe even a little higher than 10, but go up and get a quarterback with that kind of skill set.
Yeah, it feels to me like they might have to get a little bit higher, but listen, with the way that some of those early picks in the top 10 could shake out, maybe 10 is as high as they have to go. Marcus, what do you think? Is this the right thing for the Patriots to grab Fields?
Yeah, I knew I needed to wear my good jacket and my nice suit today because I just want to get in the passenger seat of Mel Rolls-Royce Phantom, and we push the top back and we just like, think about this heavenly scenario he just presented, because I'm all in on Justin Fields in New England, and I'm all in on them coming up to get him, especially when he pointed out this division. You got a young quarterback in Tua. Obviously, Josh Allen sitting there, and the Jets are going to draft Zach Wilson. And I would get to see Justin Fields versus Zach Wilson twice a year in the same division. Mel, make it happen, Mel. Make it happen. I want you to talk about this trade until the cows come home. Call your people in New England and tell them to do it. Because if he goes to New England, I am going to have the greatest NFL live show the next day after this draft that I've ever had. But I'm with you. You look at the moves that they made. Justin Fields will walk into a great situation with Josh McDaniels. Mel, pop the top back in the Phantom, man.
Ooh. Yeah, I love Fields to the Patriots. And I've been thinking about why I love it so much and why Fields maybe has been falling. And I think we might be overweighting fit or what these quarterbacks are asked to do in their college offenses. Because when you watch Justin Fields' tape at Ohio State, it looks nothing like New England, which is, of course, timing base, get the ball out quickly, a lot of play action, but it's under center. You watch Justin Fields, he's in the gun, he's holding onto the ball, waiting for routes to develop downfield. It's very different. But you're not drafting Ohio State's offense. You're drafting Justin Fields, the player, the Justin accurate, Fields. Big arm,
yes,
smart,
Mino.
Athletic player.
Yes.
And if you're New England, you are looking at those traits and you are tailoring your offense to that player who has that star power, and you are changing in it. And you're also counting on your ability as coaches to help the player grow in your offense. It's all about potential. And to me, Justin Fields' potential is incredible, especially in New England.
It's so well said. And listen, we've had a fun day full of trades, thanks to Mel. We've got time for one more thing. How about one more trade, a trade that we want to see happen? Marcus, you go first.
The Washington football team going up to get Justin Fields. Justin Fields, this is Justin Fields' last hour on NFL Live. This is one of the moves I think would put this team at the top of that division. Yes, I said it. I think it would put them at the top of the division. I think that position alone is the one that, if they get it fixed with this young roster that they have and this defense, that they can go in the NFC East and be the top dog. But if it doesn't happen, I ain't got them the top team.
Well, I was excited about me having Washington move up to take Rashawn Slater, but then Marcus Spears big-timed me with his mega trade for Washington to Fields. I like that, too. But if they're not willing to go for the quarterback, they do need a left tackle. I love Rashawn Slater for them. Move up. Get your left tackle of the future.
Here's my trade, guys. Chicago has the 20th overall pick. They need to move up and get a quarterback in the worst way. So, Chicago, get up to 10, and you get Justin Fields. We're all making these trades for Justin Fields. But that Chicago team is so stacked, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Don't waste that defense. Get your quarterback. Get Fields. Plug him in right now, and you could end up winning a lot more games than you're going to otherwise. Mel, you like our trades? What do you think?
I love them. Love him. Justin Fields is loving life now. He's been talking about more in this hour than probably he ever has been.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking about him, by the way. And everybody else that's going to be a big-time prospect in this draft, of course, keep it locked right here on ESPN and NFL Live. As we lead up to the draft, we're only 16 days away, and we will see you tomorrow. I don't even know what you just said, Marcus, but we'll see you tomorrow.